Praise God. Amen. Well, let me just read this 1-4 quickly and then dive into this, all right? 1 Peter chapter 5, it says, "The elders who are among you I exhort, I who am a fellow elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ and also a partaker of the glory that will be revealed." And he says this, "Shepherd the flock of God which is among you, serving as overseers or those who have oversight, not by constraint or compulsion, but willingly, not for dishonest gain, but eagerly, nor as being lords over those entrusted to you, but being examples to the flock." And then verse 4, "And when the chief shepherd," say that with me, "chief shepherd appears, you will receive the crown of glory that does not fade away." Father, I pray that today we will recognize you as the chief shepherd. And Lord, that we would be willing to submit to you as our chief shepherd, and that we would be a part of the flock of God, the sheep into your pasture. And Lord, that you would direct our path and lead us today. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Just by way of recognizing the first part of this, it's unique because just before this, it said in verse 19, "Therefore, let those who suffer according to the will of God commit their souls to Him in doing good as to a faithful Creator." And then it goes into this sense of elders. And I want us to understand that when it talks about elders, it's not just talking about old people. Right? Amen. It's talking about those who are mature in the faith, those who are advanced in the faith, who have been walking in the faith longer than others. And so it could be that these were younger generation, but yet they had been walking in the faith and they're now considered elders in the faith. And what I love the fact is that Peter says that I am an elder also. He says, "of who am a fellow elder." Paul could have, you know, come in as the prominent apostle of the day. He could have come in with a mentality of, you know, "look what I have done," because on Wednesday night, we just got finished talking about Acts chapter 9. At the end of Acts chapter 9, here he is moving in a powerful way and speaking even to Tabitha, who was named Dorcas, and he spoke to her who she had passed away. She was dead, and he spoke to her, and she rose from the dead. So here he is operating in a mighty powerful way as the apostle of God, and yet he doesn't claim as he comes in as to be an apostle. He said, "I'm just a fellow servant with you." How many know that in the kingdom of God, it's not a big I and little you, right? It's not, "this is an apostle, this is this, and this is that." No, it is together, united, that we are working. It is not that we exalt ourselves over anyone else, but we are working together as the body of Christ. It just means that different gifts for different seasons, for different people working together, not anyone lording that authority or power over anyone else, but we are here to mutually build each other up. We are iron sharpening iron. We are people of God together. We are His kingdom plan. That's who we are, right? And so I love the fact that Peter puts himself in this position of equality with the other elders, those who are serving the body of Christ together, because we're all on the same team. We're all going to the same place if we're trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Yes. Amen. Yes. Amen. And the fact is that when he says, nor as being lords over them, he recognized that there is an authority that we have in Christ Jesus. And though he gives a positional place for people in the body of Christ, he recognizes that we don't own the people who are around us, that we are owned by Him. Amen? And that we are to be good stewards of the roles and positions that God puts us in, because he says that they have been entrusted to you. In other words, how many know that your life has been entrusted to you? And we're to be good stewards of the grace of God that He's given to us. So we're good stewards of what God has entrusted to us, and therefore operating out of a compassion and a heart of serving the flock of God. And we're all under shepherds, under the chief shepherd. Amen. How many realize this? That you, as a person that believes in Jesus Christ, who has surrendered their heart to Jesus Christ, has been given a gift from Jesus Christ to operate in a ministry for the kingdom of God. And therefore, as each one of us are servants, what minister means is servant, that each one of us are the diakonios, we are the servants of God. And therefore, as the servants of God, we are all under shepherds, under the shepherd. Amen? Some of us are shepherding ourselves. Some of us are shepherding our family. Some of us are shepherding a small group. Some of us are shepherding a leadership position within a church. And every one of us are ministers of the gospel of Jesus Christ, no matter where we go, because it says, as you go, preach the kingdom of heaven is at hand. The word preach is the word kerygma, which means to speak, to tell, and to share. In other words, our life is a message to a world that's looking for a message. Amen? And then it says, and when the chief shepherd comes, when the chief shepherd appears. Now, you know, when I looked at this word chief shepherd, it is the only place in the Bible that it is written in this form. In other words, we see in other places in John chapter 10, talking about the good shepherd. We see other places of talking about the shepherd, but this is the only place where this word shows up, chief shepherd. And if you could really, and I really didn't look into other versions, but only just looking into the Greek itself, and it could also be stated as the head shepherd. Doesn't that make sense? Because we are the body, and He is the head. And as the head, we operate in conjunction with what He tells us to do. We operate in the foundation that He is the foundation. And the Bible tells us, unless the Lord builds the house, thy labor is in vain. In other words, we have to submit to the head. We have to submit to the King of glory, the King of kings. And this shepherd didn't just show up in a manger on a Christmas day, but this shepherd has been from the very foundations of the world. We can look into the scripture and we can see all the way back into Genesis chapter 48, where Israel or Jacob was laying his hands on Joseph's boys, Manasseh and Ephraim, and he put his hands on them and he began to pray. And this is what he prayed in Genesis chapter 48, verse 15. He said, and he blessed Joseph and he said, the God before whom my fathers Abraham and Isaac walked, the God who has been my shepherd all my life long to this day, the angel who has redeemed me from all evil, bless the boys, and in them let my name be carried on, and the name of my fathers Abraham and Isaac, and let them grow into a multitude in the midst of the earth. What's he saying? May your favor be upon them from a thousand. He's praying the favor of God from generation to generation. He's passing down a generational blessing onto these boys, but he recognizes that the shepherd has been with him from the very beginning, and the same shepherd who has been with him, who has tended his flock, who has tended his life, who has fed him in the wilderness, who has fed him in the moments where he wondered where food would come from, has been the same one that will continue to bless and to continue to favor the children that follow him in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So we see that the head shepherd, Jesus Christ, is still shepherding us today. I love the fact in John chapter 10. John chapter 10, I'm going to start with verse 7. And Jesus said to them again, most assuredly I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. Look, the world would tell us that there's multiple ways to come to Christ. Hear me now. There's multiple ways to get to heaven. We can, quote unquote, coexist. That this religion is the same religion as our religion because they have the same, they believe in the same Old Testament or this and that. But let me tell you, Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me." And hear what Jesus is saying in John 10. He said, "Most assuredly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who have ever come before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture." In other words, I'm the only way. I'm the door. You can't find anybody who tries to enter in any other way through your giving, through your goodness, through the things that you think you have done to earn God's greatness or God's love. It's all a fallacy. It is only through the grace and love of Jesus Christ submitted and surrendered to him that he then allows us to enter in. It is him who puts righteousness on us, who makes us good. We and of ourselves are not good. The Bible says this, there's none righteous, no, not one. Jesus said, why do you call them good, right? There's none good. But Jesus is good. Right? And in Christ Jesus, we're able to enter in. And as we enter into him, we find wholeness. We find what it looks like to be shepherded by him. He goes on and he says in verse 11 of John 10, it says, "I am the good shepherd." And the good shepherd, this is what goes on, says, "And the good shepherd gives his life for the sheep." Let me tell you something. Jesus himself, the shepherd, has given his life for you and I. He has willingly sacrificed himself so that you and I could find the freedom in Christ, in him, for we can have a way and access to the heavenlies and to the throne room and into his glory because of what he has done for us, right? I'm the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life. And he talks about those who are not shepherds, who feel like they have ownership of. And yet when trouble comes, they run their way. They go hiding and they run off. But the good shepherd is willing to surrender his complete life for the sake of the sheep that have come to him because he cares for them. Amen. Verse 14 says, "I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and I am known," come on, "and I am known by my own." In other words, what he is saying is that these are mine, and I am theirs. Let me understand this. This is a great truth here. Because he has sacrificed his life for us, those who willingly surrender their lives to him are his. This is what the Apostle Paul said it. He says, "You are bought with a price," right? The precious blood of Jesus Christ. You're not your own. You're the temple of the Holy Spirit. So those who surrender to him are his. And when we are his, let me help you understand something. He will take care of what is his. It may not always look like you want it to look because it might mean that we go through some trials that refine us. It might mean that we go through some times that seem to make us wonder, does he love me or not? But the reality is that he is refining us because this world is not our eternal home, and he is preparing us for something greater. And he wants to know, in the midst of your struggle, in the midst of your trial, do you trust me? Are you willing to follow me? As the shepherd leads his sheep from pasture to pasture, are you willing to follow him where he leads you? Come on. Amen. Amen. He's a good shepherd, and he knows his sheep, and those who are his know him. Amen. I mean, listen to Isaiah chapter 53. Isaiah chapter 53 is a prophetic word declaring who Jesus is. And this is what it says. He is despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our face from him. He was despised and we did not esteem him. Surely he has bore our griefs and carried our sorrows, and yet we esteemed him as stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. Verse 5, but he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. Amen. Amen. Now, look, we rejoice in that, but guess what happens? We have to read verse 6, because verse 6 is talking about me and you. Verse 6 says, all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him, Christ, the iniquity of us all. Verse 7, he was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He was led as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before his shearers is silent, so he opened not his mouth. We've got a good shepherd, don't we? Even though we have, as sheep, gone our own way. How many know that we make our own decisions at times? How many have gone their own way in seasons, right? Well, the reality is that every one of us, there's not one of us. The Bible says it this way, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. There's not one person in this room that can say that I have earned God's glory, that I've earned God's favor, that I've earned God's salvation. Every one of us have been sheep who have gone astray, each into his own way. We have done it. We have walked in our own path. We have often come to God thinking that our religious activity would gain us favor with God. God, I did this, I did that, and Lord, I expect this, and I expect that. Y'all are quieter now. But God's grace is sufficient. 1 Peter chapter 2, 24 and 25. We've already gone through this, but he says, he himself bore our sins in his body on the tree, that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. By his wounds you have been healed. In other words, he's quoting Isaiah 53. In verse 25 of 1 Peter chapter 2 says, for you were straying like sheep, but have now returned to the shepherd and overseer of your soul. Can I help you understand this morning that we need to be under this shepherd? We need to be under this shepherd. Look, what does it look like under the shepherd? What does it look like under the love of God, under when we are submitted to the shepherd as the chief shepherd? Well, David put it so clearly in Psalm chapter 23. He says, the Lord is my shepherd. I will lack nothing. I will not have a want. There's nothing that I will lack for that he will not provide for me, for he is Jehovah Jireh, the Lord my provider. When he is my shepherd, the word shepherd also means to feed. When I am under the shepherd, the chief shepherd, he will feed me. He will tend to me. Maybe it was Peter remembering when he said, shepherd the flock. He remembered when he had strayed away from the Lord. And when Jesus came to him in John chapter 21, verse 15 through 17, maybe it was that moment where he looked at Peter and said, Peter, do you love me? And he said, feed my sheep. He looked at Peter and said, no, do you really love me, Peter? He said, tend to my flock. Let me tell you something. Jesus is looking for a people who will surrender to him and recognize that he's the chief shepherd. And if he is the chief shepherd, he will work through you. He will work He will feed you. He will take care of you. And you will be the people who feed others. You'll be the people who tend to others because you are the sheep of his pasture. He will watch over you. If the word of God says that his rod and his staff, they will comfort you. In other words, whenever bear of this world tries to come and attack your family, he will be the one that takes his rod and his staff and he will chase away the lion. He will chase away the bear and he will love you and care for you. He will hold you. He will embrace you. Every notch on that staff, you will look and say, he protected me here. He has been with me here. When cancer came, he rebuked cancer off of my family. When this came, he rebuked it off of my family. God is a God of healing. He's a God who protects. He's a God who heals. He's a God who raises up the brokenhearted. And he's a God who loves you today. That's who he is. Amen. He said, you will not want. Verse 2, he says in Psalms 23, he makes me to lie down in green pastures. When I looked at that word, I said, what do you mean, Lord? You make me lie down. Listen, if he is your shepherd, you will not be able to say that I am not fed. If he is your shepherd, he will allow you to stretch out in the most beautiful pasture. It might look like a desert in your life. It might look like a desert in your family. It might look like everything is dried up and you're wondering, like David, I live in a dry and thirsty land where there is no water. But he said, this is the same David that says, as the deer panteth for the water, so doth my soul long after you. Well, if you're under the shepherdship of Jesus Christ, he will make you to lie down and recline and relax in his presence in the fields that are lush, in fields that are of provision for you. That's who he is. He says, he leads me beside the still waters. Some of you are walking in anxiety. Some of you are walking in fear. Some of you are walking wondering what's your next steps. But he says that he will lead you by the restful waters. You want to find rest? Find rest in the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Quit allowing the world to stir up the waters around you, but just rest in his presence. Rest in who he is. Know that he will put a flow in your life that will fill you and equip you. And if you'll surrender to him, you will find the rest of the still waters. Amen. Amen. It goes on in verse 3. It says, he restores my soul. I don't know what you feel like this morning, but I don't want God just to restore. I want a complete top to bottom, from the top of my head to the soles of my feet. I don't want what yesterday's bread, but I'm a new creature in Christ Jesus. Old things have passed away. All things have become new. I am a new creature in him. I am completely restored by him. Amen. He is the one who brings restoration. If you want to be in the shepherdship of Jesus Christ, and you're wondering why you're weary, let me encourage you today that the one who is weary can find rest in the one who brings life and hope into your life, for he will restore your soul. Amen. He leads me into the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Let me tell you something. Your righteousness may be as filthy rags. You might feel like there's nothing good that you could do. But guess what? If you are following the shepherdship of Jesus Christ, he will put a righteousness on you. He will make your path to right steps. The word says it this way. His word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. I will hide my heart in him that I will not sin against God. When he is the shepherd of our life, we will put in a right step with our Father and in a right relationship with God, and then the favor of God begins to flow down, and it will flow down from generation to generation to generation. Amen. Amen. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Look, when you look around this world right now, it looks like death, disease, and sickness everywhere. There's emotional sickness. Come on, right? We're the most emotionally sick country in the world. 80% of all depression medicine, anxiety medicine, goes to this country because we have falsely put into perspective what this world can give us. If you are depending on this world to be your satisfaction, you are automatically depressed. If you're looking to this world to be the all in all of satisfying your soul, you are greatly depressed, because in this world, it's filled with trouble and trials. But be of good cheer, for I've overcome the world. If you are in the shepherd will shepherd you into life and hope. And in him, though you walk through this valley of the shadow of death and death being everywhere, you don't have to be anxious. You don't have to fear. You don't have to worry. Why? Because I am with you, he says. The Lord himself, the shepherd, though you're walking through corridors where life is upset, where life is tragedy and life is hopelessness, he's with you to see you through those trials, to know that he will see you through the valley. And guess what? He said, I will prepare a table before you in the presence of your enemies, even at the point of your enemies who's against you, who you have felt has thought that they didn't like you, that they want to destroy you. He says, I will prepare a table before you in the presence of your enemies. Guess what? He's going to be with us there too. Ooh. All right, somebody get up here. I got close. Hallelujah. He said, I prepare a table before you in the presence of your enemies. You anoint my head with oil, and my cup runs over. The word, the New King James says, surely. It's not surely. I tried to figure out who surely was, but it ain't surely. Surely, goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. He is for you. He is for you. He is for you. He is for you. He's not against you. This morning, when it says surely goodness, the word literally means only goodness and mercy will follow you all the days of your life. You know, I don't want to assume. There's a whole lot of people who claim to be saved, and I'm not denying that claim, but I'm asking this. Is he your shepherd? Is he the one that's guiding your steps daily? Is he the one that's leading you? Is he the one? Because look, if you declare, he's my Savior, and you're still floundering in anxiety, you're still struggling with depression, you're still completely overwhelmed by the circumstances of life, my question is this: would you let him be your shepherd? Would you let him shepherd you this morning? He's the chief shepherd. He's the head of the body. Look, I'm not trying to deny that there are physical issues in people's lives, but the same one who declares that he will shepherd you is the same one that says he's the great physician, right? Because he's Jehovah Rapha, the Lord, our healer, and nothing is too big for him. God can do the impossible. Sydney, can I tell your story just a little bit? Sydney, last night, she said, you know, I've been sitting in church most of my life. And she said, I thought I was saved. She said, but last night, I truly accepted Jesus as my Lord and my Savior. Amen. He's your shepherd. Amen. And he's going to lead you. He's going to do the remarkable in you and even this guy right beside you. Amen. This morning, I'm not denying the fact that you might say, I believe the Lord Jesus is the Son of the living God. But are you willing to submit to him as your shepherd? Are you willing to submit to him as your Lord? To say, Lord, which Lord being master, that Lord, I am yours. I'm surrendering to the ownership. I'm recognizing that you paid a price for my life, and I'm submitting to your ownership. I'm submitting to your rulership. And I'm asking you, Lord, would you take this vessel that is yours and would you make it what you want it to be? Not what my religious mind says it should be, not what, you know, my thought process has said, this is what I have to do to live a godly life. No, Lord, I submit completely to you. And I'm asking you today, would you lead me in the steps of righteousness for your name's sake? Because you're my shepherd. I don't know if that's what the Lord is speaking to you this morning. But let me tell you something. There's joy in Him. There's peace in Him. Maybe you haven't had peace. There's peace in Him. Maybe you feel hopeless. There's hope in Him. Maybe you feel lifeless and dead. Guess what? There's life in Him. Whatever you're lacking, the Word says, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not have lack. I will not have a want for anything because He'll take care of that. How many understand that? The Word of God says that He will supply all your needs according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Maybe you're feeling lack this morning. Well, guess what? The King of glory, the one who owns the cattle of 1,000 hills, the one who gives the love that is beyond imagination, is right here to embrace you today and say, I'm yours and you're mine. Maybe the Lord's tugging at your heart, just like Sydney, who said, the Lord's tugged at my heart over and over and over again, but I've never taken the step to walk forward. Maybe today the Lord's tugging at your heart to say, come forward. Surrender to me today. Pastor, why do I have to come to the front? It is the step of boldness that says, I believe in God. It is that step together. Listen, the Bible says this, that there's rejoicing in the presence of God for one soul, right? Coming to Him. What that looks like is it's the throne room of heaven, and when one person says, I want to be under the shepherdship of God, that's when God stands up and rejoices over you. This morning, I'm not trying to, I don't want you to feel condemned or anything. I want you to be rejoiced over. I want you to be lauded over, for you to be clapped for, because God is rejoicing over you this morning for the decision that you're going to make. For a decision that says, I'm tired of doing it my way. I'm tired of doing it my way. That way has just led to more doubt and fear and brokenness. But today I want to do it God's way. Today, I want to surrender to the Lord and make it His way, not my way. Because I can't do this by myself. I can't do this at all. It's Him that does it in me. Amen? If that's you this morning, would you step forward? Would you be willing to bravely say, I want Him to be my shepherd. I want Him to be the one who leads me and guides me. The one who protects me. The one who feeds me. The one who cares about me. It goes on in chapter 5 of 1 Peter, it goes on and says, cast all your care on Him, for He cares for you. Guess what? He cares for you this morning. Are you willing to make a step for Him? What you're saying to me, young people, what you're saying to me this morning is that not only is my Savior, but I've also made Him my Lord, and I'm fully surrendered to Him as my shepherd. That's what you're saying, folks. That He's fully my shepherd and I'm following Him. I pray that is the case this morning. Amen. Come on. Come on. I don't know about you, but I want to be under His shepherdship, right? Look, you might call me a local shepherd, but I'm just an under shepherd of the great shepherd. He's the one that can lead you through the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Amen. Anybody else? I want to be under his shepherdship this morning. What a better time. Right now. Amen. Amen. Would you stand with me this morning? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
My cup's overflowing. No weapon can harm me. I won't fear. Hallelujah, I am not alone. He's my
pray, Lord, as we prepare our hearts to leave this place today, God, I pray, Jesus, that every one of us would submit ourselves to your shepherdship. God, that you attend our families, that you will direct us, that you'll direct, I submit myself as the under-shepherd of this congregation. And Lord, as under-shepherds throughout this congregation are here this morning, I ask, Lord, that you would help us to be surrendered to you, Lord. Father, that you be the chief shepherd of this house. Lord, that you will lead us, that you will guide us, that you will feed us, that you will direct us as we prepare ourselves for a new year that's coming, Lord. Let us follow the vision and the plan that you have put before us. And Lord, let us see your hand move, God, as we operate in obedience to your plan. Lord, I pray that you would bring spiritual growth in this church, that you'll bring spiritual maturity to this church. And Lord, that as we grow in maturity, that we will also see this church grow numerically, and that the ministry of this church, God, will spread out through this community, and lives will be changed by the power of your love. Lord, let us go out unified. Let us go out in one mind and one accord to experience what you want to do in this body. God, we give you the glory and we give you the praise. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Hey guys, remember next Sunday, what time does service start? 11 o'clock, all right? For those of you going to be late, Jessica, it starts at 10:30. God bless you guys. I hope you have a wonderful Christmas. Enjoy family. God bless you guys.